Hi, this is the October 28, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for grades 5 and 6. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Karen Finnegan. On the front cover is a headline that reads, "The Race for the White House. Election Day is almost here. Meet the two candidates for the nation's top job." National news. Who will win? The countdown to Election Day has begun. Meet the two main candidates competing to become the next U.S. president. As you read, think about what is unique about this year's presidential election. Words to know. Political parties, noun, plural. Groups of people with similar ideas on how the government should run. Campaign, noun. A series of actions performed to help reach a goal, such as winning an election. The United States has elected a president every 4 years since the late 1780s, but this year's election is shaping up to be unlike any before it. Election Day is November 5th. The two main candidates, Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump, both have a chance to make history. If Harris wins, she'll be the first woman to hold the nation's top job. Trump could become the first president since 1892 to be elected to non-consecutive terms, meaning not back-to-back. But the historic race isn't what most Americans were expecting even a few months ago. Change of plans. Each candidate represents one of the two biggest political parties in the United States. Harris is the Democratic Party's nominee, and Trump is the choice of the Republican Party. Trump launched his campaign to win back his old job almost 2 years ago. For months, it appeared that he would face President Joe Biden in a rematch of the 2020 presidential election. But Biden performed poorly in a debate against Trump in June. That led many Democrats to question whether the 81-year-old Biden was the right candidate. He decided to drop out of the race on July 21. Biden gave his full support to his Vice President Harris to run instead. Making it official. By then, the Republicans had held their national convention. At that big gathering, they nominated, or officially chose, Trump to be their candidate for president. Harris officially became the Democrats' nominee at their convention in August. She is the first Black woman and first Asian American to be chosen by a major party to run for president. Harris and Trump faced off in a debate on September 10. It was the first time voters got to see the two candidates together. More than 67 million people watched on TV and online. Harris and Trump were each asked to explain how they deal with the biggest issues facing the nation. Their answers gave voters a chance to compare the candidates' very different ideas. Nearing the finish line. A candidate will need tens of millions of votes to be elected president. In the final days of the race for the White House, Harris and Trump will campaign around the clock to gain as many votes as possible. They'll continue to travel around the country to give speeches. Both candidates will use social media platforms like TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube to try to connect with voters. We can also expect to see a lot of ads for Harris and Trump on TV and online. Spreading their messages will be expensive. In the first month after Harris joined the race, Democrats and Republicans spent a total of more than $400 million on advertising. Who will convince more voters that they deserve the nation's top job? We'll find out soon. The other big races. The presidential election is just one of many important races to watch on Election Day. Find out about the others at scholastic.com/election. Here's some information about each candidate. Kamala Harris, born October 20th, 1964, in Oakland, California. Where she lives, Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles, California. Family. Harris has been married to Doug Emhoff since 2014. She is the stepmother to Emhoff's two children from a previous marriage, Cole and Ella. Career. Harris has served as a U.S. vice president since 2021. She began her career as a lawyer, and from 2011 to 2017, she was California's attorney general. In that role, she was the state's top lawyer and was responsible for enforcing state laws. Beginning in 2017, she represented California in the U.S. Senate for 4 years. Donald Trump, born June 14, 1946, in Queens, New York. Where he lives, Palm Beach, Florida. Family. Trump has been married to Melania Trump since 2005. They have an 18-year-old son, Barron. Trump also has four grown children from previous marriages, Donald Jr., Ivanka, Eric, and Tiffany, and 10 grandchildren. Career. Trump served as the 45th U.S. president from 2017 to 2021. Before that, he was a businessman who made his fortune in real estate. His companies have built luxury apartment buildings, hotels, and golf courses around the world. Space news. Space waste. Trash isn't a problem only here on Earth. It can cause big trouble up in space, too. As you read, think about what are some ways space junk could be a threat to people. Words to know. Surveillance, noun, close watch kept over someone or something. Maneuver, verb, to move something carefully. In March, a mysterious object the size of a smartphone ripped through the roof of a home in Naples, Florida. Luckily, no one was hurt. The object turned out to be an old piece of equipment from the International Space Station, ISS. Astronauts on the giant space laboratory had released it into space 3 years earlier. In other words, it was space junk. You can't tell by looking at the night sky, but space is littered with trash. The debris includes satellites that no longer work, rocket parts, and even paint chips from old spacecraft. The chances of space waste harming us on Earth are quite low. All that junk, however, could cause serious damage up in space. Piling away. In October 1957, a country called the Soviet Union sent the first human-made satellite named Sputnik 1 into space. The U.S. launched its first satellite a few months later. In 1961, a Soviet spacecraft carried the first astronaut beyond Earth. Since then, hundreds more astronauts have traveled into space, and scientists have sent thousands of satellites to orbit or circle the planet. Some satellites take pictures of our solar system. Others help scientists predict the weather on Earth. Communications satellites beam TV signals and enable us to make phone calls around the world. Satellites and other objects sent to space don't stay in use forever. Over time, most break apart and burn up in Earth's atmosphere. Some debris reaches Earth's surface, like the object that crashed into the home in Florida. But most of what makes it through the atmosphere falls into the ocean. So far, there's no record of anyone being injured by space junk. Some of the waste that's floating around in space could end up being there for centuries. NASA, the U.S. space agency, estimates that more than 100 million pieces of junk are currently orbiting our planet. Crash course. All that trash can be dangerous. Space junk zips around Earth at speeds of more than 17,000 miles per hour. At such speeds, even a scrap of metal the size of a penny can cause major damage. It's like a really, really fast car that can bump into anything, says Charity Whedon. She works at NASA. You can't control it. Space waste is a threat to the thousands of working satellites circling the planet. It's also a danger for the astronauts living on the ISS. Earlier this year, 9 astronauts had to take shelter after an old satellite nearby broke into more than 100 pieces. As more satellites are launched into space, the chances of collisions increase. Cleaning up space. NASA, the U.S. Space Force, and other space agencies are working to tackle the space waste problem. They use surveillance systems to track the trash. That enables them to react when a piece of debris poses a threat. For instance, about once a year, astronauts have to maneuver the ISS to dodge trash. Also, some companies are looking for solutions to get rid of space junk. Whedon calls these companies, quote, trash haulers in space, unquote. For example, a company called Astroscale is working on a giant robotic arm. It would pull trash toward Earth's atmosphere, where the debris would burn up without doing any harm. Whedon says future space missions could be at risk if we don't act now. It's really important that we get a handle on the amount of space junk up there, she explains. If not, it's going to affect our ability to explore. Tracking trash. Here are a few of the countless objects that became space junk over the years. Get a grip. In June 1965, astronaut Edward H. White II completed the first spacewalk by an American. While he was outside his spacecraft, White lost one of his gloves. It floated in space for about a month before burning up in Earth's atmosphere. Oldest junk. In March 1958, the U.S. launched a satellite called Vanguard 1. More than 65 years later, it's still in space. The satellite is the oldest piece of space junk orbiting Earth. Missing tools. Last November, two astronauts were making repairs outside the International Space Station when their tool bag floated away. It was an expensive mistake. The bag and tools inside it were worth about $100,000. Life science. Rebuilding a dinosaur. While walking near his home in May 2022, Jason Cooper noticed a large bone sticking out of a rock. It turned out to belong to the largest and one of the most complete Stegosaurus skeletons ever. In July, that skeleton sold for $44.6 million, making it the world's most expensive fossil. Cooper makes his living as a fossil hunter. He found the Stegosaurus remains on his property in northwestern Colorado. The region is the richest source of dinosaur fossils in the United States. After the discovery, Cooper began a nearly two-year process to prepare the skeleton, which he named Apex, for display. First, he and his team excavated, or dug up, the bones. The dinosaur's remains were buried in hard sandstone. The team carefully removed layers of rock from the 254 hardened bones they found. It's estimated that Apex once had 319 bones. The missing bones were 3D printed or sculpted. Then Cooper's team rebuilt the skeleton like a giant puzzle. Once they had it just right, they took Apex apart and shipped the pieces to Sotheby's, an auction house in New York City. They rebuilt Apex in Sotheby's gallery. Cooper understands why the buyer who won the auction was so interested in purchasing Apex. "I can feel their excitement because it's the excitement I had," he says in a video made for Sotheby's. "Then they're hopefully going to transfer that on to somebody else, like a museum." Apex lived during the late Jurassic period, between 161 million and 146 million years ago. The Apex was 27 feet long and 11 feet tall. Picture this, the Great Pumpkin. Imagine how many pies you could make with a pumpkin as large as the photo here. Travis Jinger of Anoka, Minnesota, grew this massive pumpkin last fall. It weighed 2,749 pounds. That's about as heavy as some small cars. Jinger's giant gourd set the Guinness World Record for heaviest pumpkin. It also earned him a $30,000 prize. His heavyweight fruit was later transported to Clarence, New York, where it squashed another record. Artist Eric Jones carved it into the heaviest jack-o'-lantern of all time. Debate it. Should we stop changing the clocks? Most kids in the U.S. will soon have less time to play outside before it gets dark. That's because daylight saving time, DST, ends on November 3rd. People in most states will set their clocks back 1 hour. They'll, quote, fall back, unquote, to what's called standard time. When DST starts again in March, people will, quote, spring forward, unquote, by moving their clocks ahead an hour. Why the back and forth? DST was introduced in the U.S. in 1918 as a way to save energy. Because the sun sets later during DST, the idea was that people would rely on sunlight instead of electricity to light their homes longer. Today, many Americans don't think changing the clocks is such a bright idea. Critics of the time change point out that Hawaii and most of Arizona are always on standard time. They argue that our bodies are used to being on standard time and that moving our clocks forward and back can disrupt our sleep patterns. But others like switching to DST. They say the extra hour of daylight encourages people to be more active after work and school. Others argue that DST can help businesses because people stay out later. Here's what two of our readers think. Keone Licorice from Hawaii says, "Yes, we don't have DST in Hawaii, and people here do just fine following standard time year-round. I don't think other states need to switch to DST either. Having to change the clocks twice a year must be confusing. What if people forget? They could be late for work or school. Changing the clocks could also mess up people's sleep schedules. When kids don't get enough rest, they may not do their best in class. I know I get grumpy if I don't sleep well." Lucia Glissick from Maine says, no, we shouldn't stop changing the clocks. It's beneficial to change the clocks a couple of times each year. In the fall, we gain an extra hour of sleep on the night we turn back our clocks. And in the spring, it's nice to have extra daylight in the evening to do things like play outside or run errands. For me, it means I can play lacrosse after school when it's still light outside. DST may also save lives. Some studies have found that the number of car accidents drop during DST because drivers can see better in the evening. On the last page of this issue, there's an infographic about the different time zones. You might want to ask your parent, teacher, or guardian to help you with the questions related to it. There are also questions related to the rest of the issue that you can ask for help with. That completes the October 28, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for grades 5 and 6. I'm Karen Finnegan. So long until next time.